Scripture reading from this evening will be from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Good evening. Tonight I want to talk just a few minutes about potential. If we continue, and thank you, Brother Johnson, for reading those verses there, if we continue with this in Romans chapter 12, and we kind of look on with this idea, let's go even a little bit further. And he continues in here, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And all this kind of leads up to the potential that each and every one of us have. But one of the biggest problems is that we don't realize that potential. We don't use that potential. We just kind of let things go. Some of this actually came from a couple conversations also, and usually it's what happens with someone, and it came from a conversation where, and you've it's one of those things you've heard me say, well, we think someone else is going to take care of it. We think someone else will worry about it. And it's not up to me, right? It's not up to me as just the individual member, because someone else will do something about it. And something along the lines that, well, just me alone will not make a difference. But that's not the case. It's when we stand, when we want to make a difference. And we have to think about what that potential is. I have to grab my phone and do it, because I didn't print on my papers. That's another story in itself. But I had a couple, I call them supplemental pages with, we talk about what potential is. And if you remember in science class, you learned potential energy and kinetic energy, right? Two different things. And that potential energy, according to Wikipedia, in physics, it's the energy possessed by an object because of its position relative to other objects, stresses within itself, its electric charge, or other factors. And it shows a gentleman in the picture here. He has a bow and an arrow. And it talks about him pulling that bow back with that arrow and the potential that it has. Another one talked about, showed a hill with a biker. You're using energy to go up that hill, right? When you get to the top of the hill, that bike, it wants to go forward. There's a lot of potential energy in that. And I thought the kids would like this one. But I remember seeing an Indiana Jones show at Disney, and they have that large boulder. You guys are smiling. You know what I'm talking about. Well, it's sitting there, and it's ready to come down as a trap. You know, it's a huge boulder. There's a lot of potential energy in that, right? And we understand that. And we see that it can do a lot of damage because of its size relative to its height, its position. And the gentleman standing down below it ready to get, unfortunately, rolled over by it. So we understand what that potential is. But we also need to understand that that's all it is at that point, right? There's nothing else it's doing at that point. There is so much potential that is in there. Now, it's been said, and this is something I brought up Wednesday night in the class because I was so mixed up on what I was had in my brain at the time. But I you might have heard me mention that we don't use the full function of our brains. And one report said, and again, it kind of varies. Anywhere, I think I found 10 to 17%. But they say even the brightest people out there use only about 11% of their brain capacity, the function that we have in our brain. It's only a small percentage of what we actually have. We probably know people who use a lot less, I think is what I said, even the other night. But can you imagine where we would be in the world today if we used 100% of it? And, you know, we have a lot of smiles out there, but you know what I'm talking about. Because you know you're talking sometimes to someone, and maybe you even asked a simple question. But even if they could use just a few percent more, right? How better this world could be. And again, I mentioned Wednesday night in the class that just common sense doesn't rule, right? We all have a lot of potential. And as Brother Johnson read the first couple of verses in Romans chapter 12 this evening, it talked about their living sacrifices to God. And the purpose of it is not something mystical or magical in there, but it's practical for us. Our devotion, our worship are connected to our active obedience to God, our working for Him and doing the work He would have us to do. It's inseparable. We can't be sacrificed to God, but at the same time be inactive in the work that He would have us to do. Those things don't coincide. They don't live together. But too often, that may be how we treat it. That may be how we go through our, quote-unquote, I'll say, Christian lives. That we separate those things. But that's not what it's talking about here, as Brother Johnson even read. And as a transformed person, God expects me to do something. Right? He expects us to use those gifts we have. In verse 1, it talked about our spiritual service unto Him. There's an expectation that we do something, right? That we're not just sitting here having quote-unquote potential, but it just stays there, right? Because all those examples I gave, I'll use the boulder again because it's the most dramatic one, but if it just sits there and doesn't do anything, it doesn't matter. It's not doing its job, right? It's not protecting. It's not being that trap to keep people away that it needs to be. And then I was thinking, you know, a lot of times you may hear someone say, maybe it's at a job evaluation. Maybe your boss tells you, you have so much potential. You have the potential to be great, to be awesome. I would tell them I've already been there for a long time, but yes, that is possible. No, right? You hear that often. You have so much potential. He has potential. She has potential. And what does that really mean when someone says you have potential? It kind of means you may not be doing it right now, but we need to do something. And that's what I want to briefly just take a few more minutes tonight is just talk about, the potential that we have. And we're going to look at a few verses that, again, that the apostle outlines some important elements of our usefulness to God, the potential that we have. But again, it's not just potential, but it's what we must do. We can't just be that boulder and sit there and stop. But now, and again, that example, that bike going down the hill, we have to go over that hump. We have to go down that hill. We have to do that work. Well, the first one is the attitude that we have. We have to think about our attitude first and foremost in it. And especially when we talk about service, we talk about serving, usually coincides with humility. Right? We think of that idea in humility. Again, Romans chapter 12. And I'll start in verse 3 again. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, again, it's probably something we don't need to spend a whole lot of time, or we shouldn't have to, but just briefly here, we talk about humility in our attitude of worship. Why are we here? Why am I doing what I am doing? Is there a reason behind it? Well, again, it's one of those things that should be obvious. And I often ask the question, am I here just to fill a place? Am I here just to be seen? Do I have any other motives for being here? I'll often ask, am I glad that I'm here? Am I glad to be here? Does it give me something more than just, you know, listening to me, listening to Don, listening to Brother John this morning, anyone, whoever may be speaking, just for a few minutes? Do we have the right attitude in this? Are we glad? Are we excited? Does it give us some comfort? Oftentimes, the thing that comes to me is that there is peace, there is comfort when we get together and we can hear a portion of the word, or in a Bible class even. So again, and if we notice how Paul talks about or begins his admonition here, he says, through the grace given to me. Now, the word grace here refers to his commission to preach the gospel. And we think about the grace that he has been given. You know, being an apostle wasn't something that Paul earned, right? It was an act of grace. It was a gift here. And if we think about it, again, in a lesson I talked one time about, Paul was, in a sense, the terrorist of the day to the Christians. I talked before, he was like the Osama bin Laden, so to speak, of his time. And I went into a lesson with this one time, and what would we do if, obviously not now, but if he had walked in to a service? So we think about Paul, and not to take time with it, but he was the perfect, I think, person to spread this word. But remember, though, that humility doesn't go before any authority or preclude any authority or leadership. He was an apostle, and he was talking to us directly about humility. But it's a source of authority that was given to him by God. He knew his position before God. How would Paul be able to ask someone else to be humble if he himself basically wasn't that humble person? So again, we have to understand that, again, it's that proper attitude. And he continues on in this. Let me scoot back to where I was. When he's talking about these things, that again, he's talking to everyone who is among you, to everyone among you. So it's talking to us as well. And too often we take the attitude that these words were just written to others. They were just written to those of the time. Well, we have to understand it's also written to us. He's addressing every single Christian with his words. Who of us have never been tempted, never one time, to think of ourselves more than what we should? Pride is a problem for everybody. It gets in our way, it's a stumbling block, and we have to be careful. We have to be watchful for it. We have to be careful because even spiritual growth and knowledge can be a source of pride and sin. So Paul is continuing to address a need for us to renew our minds here when he's talking about. We have to be careful with anything. Right? It's not just pride we have in the world, maybe even spiritually. We have to understand it. We have to use it properly. But again, it has to be with a humble spirit. But he continues on this and says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And he uses a form to think four times in verse 3 here, the Greek phronio. But in the first instance, he uses hooper, which means to exceed or to go beyond. Sometimes, the problem is, I guess, sometimes we think too much. We think too highly, right? And again, it's one of those attitudes when you're talking to someone, many times you can figure it out right away, right? You can point it out. But as a Christian, we're not to exceed the estimation of ourselves. We're not to go above, to go beyond that. We have to understand ourselves as who we really are. That's the attitude that we must constantly take in. And it's not just here, right? We often use examples that it's everywhere. And that's what we should. I'm not just to be a humble person here when I come into the service, but also when we leave. Our attitude must be correct. We can't think more than we do. We can't think, well, I'm better than that. That would never happen to me. Don't you understand who I am? We have to be careful with this attitude with sin. We never want to take the attitude, well, it's not me. Those other Christians would be the sinners, not me. We have to be careful that we aren't the sinners ourselves in this. So we can't exceed that. For anyone who thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 3. So the verse tells us that we deceive ourselves by saying this, that we think, well, no, it's not me. I'm too strong. And again, as I said earlier, don't you know, don't they know who I am? In 1 Timothy, Paul's self-estimation in 1 Timothy could be something we could reflect upon ourselves today. He referred to himself, I think it's a resume. He talks of himself here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 as a former blasphemer and persecutor and an insolent man. In his own words, he says he is the chief sinner. But again, he wasn't humble just because he could easily talk bad about himself. You have to be careful with that. Sometimes, though, you have to be careful because that can be kind of twisted the wrong way and it's not looked upon as humility. But he was humble because he realized, he understood that he was not the one who made him who he was. He said in 1 Timothy 1, and this is throughout the first chapter, verses 12 through 16, but he puts a few words in here in this section, but God enabled me. He said, he putting me in the ministry, and I obtained mercy. He wasn't boasting about himself. He wasn't giving his own great resume. And God could use Paul, because he was humble, and he understood that. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, admonished all elders in the church, young and old, to clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And many times those who think too much of themselves, it has kind of a transverse effect. They think too highly of themselves. What do you think they think of other people then? Kind of put them on the other opposite end of the scale. They think too high of themselves will put other people down, put them too low. But true humility, our true attitude and humility requires us to submit to others, allowing them to be before us. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 5, likewise, the younger people, submit to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have to understand that. We have to realize that. That's the attitude we must take in. And too often, it's a big problem in the world, and it even speaks here about young and your elders, that we don't listen. We don't pay attention. We just go ahead and jump right in because I know all the answers, right? Again, you've heard me say, I remember when I was younger, I knew a lot more than I know today. And there's sarcasm in that, because by that, I believed I did, right? When mom told me to do something or she knew what was best for me, guess what? She didn't know. I knew it. I had all the answers. Sometimes I see a little bit of that today, but no, you kids are good. But we have to, again, understand our attitude in that. We have to understand that that attitude is going to keep me from judging a brother, right? In James, look with me in James chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. James 4, 10 and 11. Humble yourselves in the Spirit of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Again, that attitude, that true attitude of humility, when I have that in there, it's going to cause me, it's going to make sure that I'm treating every brother or sister the same. The same mind, the same compassion in there. Later on in Romans chapter 12, Paul admonishes them in verse 15 to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. God, and even John, if you can recall in John 3, opposed Diotrephes. in 3 John, because he sought preeminence. He wanted to be above everybody else. He wanted that position. And again, sometimes people will do anything they can do to be in a higher position. But humility means putting myself in front of others. Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. And that's not a lack of self-esteem, but that's a true evaluation, self-evaluation, in humility and in attitude. Well, he tells us, if we continue in Romans chapter 12, that again, to think soberly, right? Well, or to think with sober judgment in the English Standard Version, but to think with sober judgment in Romans 12 and verse 3 there. Now, this is talking about a clear thinking, right? We have our minds ready. We have it thinking. Sober, if you think of someone intoxicated, unfortunately, I have to deal sometimes with people who are very much intoxicated. You know, they're a completely different person. That's what a lot of times someone will say. Well, they're a different person. They're completely different than who they normally are. Well, of course, they're not thinking right, right? And that person loses reality, that intoxicated person. And when he sobers up, then he can make a better judgment, right? You're not going to, obviously, unfortunately, it happens. You're not going to let someone intoxicated drive. You're not going to let them, go ahead and walk down the street. Go to wherever you're going. No, that doesn't happen. We can't allow that. And again, it's one of those common sense things we think about. But sometimes we don't see reality. We're, in a sense, intoxicated with ourselves. We don't have that right judgment of what that reality is. To see ourselves just as God were to see us. Paul warned the Corinthians against making judgment about themselves and others that would promote pride in themselves. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. So we have to be careful, again, that we think soberly, just as you mentioned here, just as our minds are clear. Just a few more points here. I want to look at just some examples here as well. But humility, we need to think of, humility as a prerequisite to our service, what we're doing, right? Well, we think of so many examples we can have, or we have in our own minds so many examples of this. And look at some of these. Who can God use? Is he able to go to? Is it me? Is it you? Hopefully all of us. Look at these examples. First, Moses. Moses was confident at the age of 40, and he had the qualities that would enable him to deliver God's people out of Egyptian bondage, but he failed miserably. After 40 years as a shepherd, his attitude changed. He was a different person then. God called him to work. Think of this as being humble. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Exodus 3 and verse 11. Once he was humble enough, then God was able to use him. And God knew the potential, again, that I talked in the beginning, that he had. Gideon was completely surprised in Judges chapter 6 when the angel of the Lord addressed him as a mighty man of valor in verse 12 there. He was even more taken aback when the angel said, go in this, the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And then he replied, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The thing is, it was God's use of a humble man, and his victory was well known, right? There's so much potential in there, and we know it, and God had seen it as well. Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, his response when he was called to be king over Israel, and he said in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 21, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all these families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me?" Later, God made a point that it was his attitude. It was his attitude when he was anointed. He says, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" 1 Samuel 15 and in verse 17. But, unfortunately, afterwards, he became so great in his own eyes that he substituted his own wisdom for that of God. Then God said through Samuel, "You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." 1 Samuel 15, 19 and 26. Again, I have so many other examples here that we can think about, that we can look at. Jeremiah, when called to God to be a prophet, replied, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." Jeremiah 1 and in verse 6. Simon Peter's proclamation, "Through all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended," Matthew 26 and verse 33, can later be looked upon as more of a liability than an asset. But he would become useful again when he humbly refused to boast of his own resources and committed unto Christ that true love, his tender affection for him in John 21, verses 15 through 17. He was then ready to be one of the Lord's sheep. I have just one more example, and the reason I'm bringing all these examples up is because we have to understand our own potential, right? To have that attitude that we must have, that it's in us, but it's part of something we must do, we must use. Saul of Tarsus was useless to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, "When he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Again, Philippians 3, verses 5 through 6. But later on, his usefulness did flourish when he had come to say, "I'm the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. In Romans chapter 12, and the reason I brought it up tonight, because it describes an active service. And with the time being, I tried to look at the attitude that we have in that service through each and every one of us. But are we doing something about it? Are we taking that proper attitude? Are we taking the potential that we have? We should encourage each and every one of us, each and every one of us should be encouraged to give 100%. Remember I talked earlier about potential? That it's just there, it's waiting, it's relative in position to where we're at. But something has to be done, right? Remember that boulder? It's not going to do anything unless what? Unless it moves. It matters nothing there. Do we have the proper attitude in giving our service? Do we want to give 100%? Can you imagine our world today if we did? And it's easy, right? And I always think, what if every single person on this earth were a Christian? Where would we be? I don't know if you'd have a seat in here, but hopefully we'd have other buildings. We'd be able to meet, to congregate together. But think about that. Think, if we're not using our mind to just, what did I say earlier, 10, 12%, somewhere in that, 11% maybe? Imagine if we did. Imagine how better our world would be if we had the right attitude and used our potential. We did something about it. Now, too often we just sit there and we don't do anything about it. Tonight, you might have a need for this. If you're here and you're not a Christian, if you hear, believe, repent, confess Christ, and are buried and baptized with him, you can have that life. Right? And we all have the potential to do something more, to be something more. One of the verses, and I told John I was going to kind of bounce some things off of what he even said this morning. But I like he read from Proverbs chapter 14. Turn with me to Proverbs 14 real quick. And what about us as Christians? We're not always giving 100%, are we? Sometimes we fall, sometimes we falter. But I liked, and he used 14 and verse 12, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 14 here. It says, "A backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways." Which one are we going to choose? Which one are we going to do? We have the potential to be great, right? If we did an evaluation today, and I would tell you, you have the potential to be awesome. You have the potential to be great. But we have to do something about it. We can't just sit there and do nothing. It matters. It makes a difference. We're kind of like that boulder sometimes, right? We're just sitting there. It's ready to do something. It's actually ready to do a lot of damage. We could do a lot of, I'll say damage then, to this world by changing it, by turning it around. But if we all just sit there at the top of the hill, it's not going to move and it's not going to do anything. And there's a point that will come in your life where that's it. And you don't know it. You don't know the time. You don't know the hour. Yet we'll still sit there having that potential energy sitting there not doing anything. Don't wait and don't waste the time. I'll tell you, you're never going to know when that last minute will be. Come forward now as we stand, as we sing our song of invitation.